Now turn to the preaching of the word. I invite you to turn with me to Psalm 116. We've just sung from a portion of this psalm, and now we'll look at it in this tonight's sermon. Psalm 116, if you're using your Pew Bible, you can find this on page 648. So hear now the word of God, Psalm 116. I love the Lord, because he has heard my voice in my pleas for mercy, because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in the midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. May the Lord bless the reading and now the preaching of his word. As we've been going through these psalms, it's been a couple weeks since our last evening service, and I'll just begin by reminding us of where this psalm is in the Psalter. Psalms 113 through 118 are called the Egyptian Hallel, sung traditionally at the Passover. So these section of psalms were sung by our Lord Jesus Christ in the night that he was betrayed. And so as we have been looking at these psalms, we've been really looking at them in that context. First of all, as they were sung, remembering the great deliverance of God's people from Egypt, but also considering how these were on the mind of our Lord Jesus Christ in the night that he was betrayed, in the night in which Judas kissed him, that night before he went to the garden and he sweat great drops of blood and he wept and he pled with his father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. But then submitting to his Father's will, not my will, but your will be done. These psalms were on the mind of our Lord Jesus Christ in that night. Now traditionally, Psalms 113 and 114 were sung before the meal of the Passover, and Psalms 115 through 118 were sung following the meal. So following the meal with his disciples, our Lord sang this psalm. And it begins, I love the Lord because he heard my voice and pleas for mercy. This psalm deals with the Lord God hearing the cries and the pleas of his people and answering them through his mighty acts of deliverance. So the application that we'll be looking at tonight as we consider this psalm is that since the Lord hears, let us call to him and give thanks. Since the Lord hears, let us call to him and give thanks. Now, first of all, love the Lord, for he hears. As I said, the psalmist begins, David begins in writing, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. He has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live. What a great way to start this psalm. I love the Lord. As I was thinking about this psalm, one of the things I was struck with is how often do I just simply say that? Now, as we consider our loved ones, as we consider our families, as we consider our spouses, our children, our parents, do we tell them, hopefully regularly, that we love them. We express to them that we love them, that we care for them, that we desire to be with them. We have those displays of affection. Should it not also be with our Heavenly Father, our Lord? And we simply say to Him in our prayers, I love you. I love you. We talked this morning a little bit about how hearing and reading the Word of God, how the benefits that it can bring us, or when we talk about preparing to hear and to read the Lord, or read the Word of God, how we're to, upon hearing it, to receive it with faith and love. Loving the truth of God because it tells us of God. We love the Word of God because it shows us who our God is. And it is His Word to us. And so we are to love our Lord. And the reason given by the psalmist here is deliverance. The cords of death encompassed me. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I suffered distress and anguish. This psalm then unpacks these verses. The call of the psalmist, but the gracious deliverance of God upon his life. Now, in the introduction to this sermon, I reminded us of the context of these psalms and how they were sung, remembering the Exodus and the deliverance from Egypt. And if we recall to mind the account that God gives us of that mighty work of deliverance for his people, he, through the plagues, brought to shame the gods of Egypt, and he, in a mighty way, delivered his people. And they crossed the Red Sea, and then they wandered in the wilderness. There are various dangers and perils on either side. There was death and suffering in various ways. But we read how the Lord preserved them. We read how he watched over them. And as I've mentioned in the previous weeks, how we read not even their sandals were preserved. Even the clothes that they wore were preserved through those 40 years. God watched over, he protected his people. In their distress, they cried out to him, and he heard them, and he delivered them, not only from Egypt and their bondage to slavery, but also in their distress in the wilderness as well. I've already mentioned how this was sung by our Lord on the night that he was betrayed. Now, as we consider that night in the Garden of Gethsemane, as Jesus was in great distress, in great turmoil of his own soul, as the snares of death were quite literally enclosing around him, and he was reaching the point for which he came to lay down his life as a sacrifice for his people, to forgive our sins, he cried out to his Father that if there was any other way, that this cup would pass from him. Now, as we consider how the gospel unfolds, God our Father did not provide another way for our Lord Jesus. As we consider this psalm, did the Lord hear our Lord in his cries for mercy and help? He went to the cross. Jesus was wounded for us. He bore our reproach. He bore our punishment. He bore the full wrath of God for us. The Bible clearly teaches that we are all sinners before God. God is a holy and righteous God, and we have all sinned against him. And what we are due if we die in those sins is that we will spend eternity in hell apart from him. He cannot have in his presence those who are imperfect and sinful. But in his grace and in his mercy, he provided the only means of salvation. There is no other way. And that is Jesus Christ. Our Lord and Savior was crucified on a cross for us. And he wasn't just crucified on a cross for us, suffering that shame, that humiliation. But he had the full wrath of God poured out upon him. That is due to us. That is due to our sinfulness, our sins. The scriptures tell us that he who knew no sin was made sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. That night that the Lord was betrayed, as the snares of death ensnared him, as he cried out to his Father for deliverance, he yet humbly and willfully submitted his desires, his will, to the will of his Father. And he instead, with confidence in the joy set before him, endured the suffering and the cross and the snares of death for us. Now, as we consider the snares of death that entangled our Lord Jesus Christ, this was for our sake. This was so that we could fulfill this psalm in Christ, that when we call to God, he hears us. Apart from the work of Christ, he won't hear. He doesn't hear. He can't listen to sinful humanity. But through the work of Christ, he hears us. And he responds and he delivers us through Christ from death. Is this not reason to love our Lord? As the psalmist begins, I love you, O Lord. I love you because you have delivered me. How much more can we say, I love you, O Lord, for the deliverance that you have won for me? So let us proclaim our love unashamedly to our God for his deliverance. The second point we'll be looking at, call upon the Lord for he hears. So we're to love the Lord our God because he hears, but we're to call upon him because he does hear. This section in verses 5 to 11 speaks of one who has been saved, speaks of one who has been delivered. Thinking back upon their turmoil in verses 11 or 10 and 11, I believed, even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars. We can see in that an individual who was in great distress and turmoil in the midst of that, he believed. He believed it. Even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars. The call has been made, and the psalmist is remembering the deliverance and the answer that the Lord has brought. And so it begins, gracious is the Lord, and righteous is our God, and righteous, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Then return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. The psalmist here, in that first section, he remembered the deliverance. And in this section, he's also remembering that deliverance, but is also in the midst of some great trial and tribulation and turmoil. And so he is remembering what God has done in hearing his cries for help and bringing deliverance to him. He remembers that our God is gracious. And upon this graciousness of our Lord and the fact that he is righteous, he is merciful, our souls are to return to their rest. As we are faced with great trials and tribulations in our own life, and distresses that we endure, hardships that are brought in, whether they're work-related, whether they're school-related, whether they're just daily life-related, things that assail us. Let us return to the grace that has been shown to us by our Lord. And as we think upon the grace that has been shown to us in any situation, whether we're lying in our bed at night, fearful of something, whether we're considering something that may be on the horizon, let us return to the grace of God that he has shown us, and our souls find rest. We see the desperation of the situation in verses 10 to 11. And as we consider that this psalm sung in the night that our Lord was betrayed, we can see, even in that situation, as our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane pleaded with his Father to remove the cup from him. But even in the midst of that hardship, he most often had, or most likely had, verses 8 and 9 also in view. Wherefore you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Yes, our Lord, as he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, before he was betrayed, was greatly afflicted of soul, yet he also endured the cross, as I mentioned, and as Scripture says, for the joy set before him. The Lord, his Father, did in fact hear. He did deliver his Son. He did not give his Son over to the grave. But as Psalm 16 declares for us, he did not allow his Godly One, his Holy One, to see decay. And so on the third day, death could not hold our Lord. And he was delivered. He was delivered. And leading up to that point, his feet did not stumble. He walked the path set before him in uprightness before the Lord. And he was resurrected the third day. Jesus was quite literally saved from the snares of death. He did die. He did enter the grave, but the grave could not hold him. The grave could not keep him. This fact that our Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead gives us confidence in calling upon our Lord. If our Lord God is the one who accomplished our salvation in the sending of his Son and living a life of perfect righteousness, of even the point of obedience and death upon the cross, but then also defeated sin, defeated death, was raised to newness of life, and then ascended on high and sits at the right hand of God. This truth, this grace that God has shown us, this clear picture of the grace of God for his people, gives us the great confidence that we can go to God and that he does in fact hear us. We have a greater confidence than the people of old ever had, because we have the fuller revelation of God, and we see that how we go to him is not through the blood of bulls and goats. How we go to him is through the blood of his Son, who was crucified for us, who won the victory for us, and we can go to our God in confidence because of the righteousness of Christ upon us. We are truly his children. And he hears us in the times of distress. Because we can have this confidence, let us then call freely upon our Lord, because he does in fact hear his people. The psalm closes in verses 12 to 19 with a call to give thanks to the Lord, for he hears. Verses 12 to 14 and 17 to 19 parallel one another. The psalmist says, "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people." And then in verse 17, "I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord." The question opens, what shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits to me? This is a good question for us to ask. What can we render to God? What can we repay him for all that he has done? Let alone the fact that he is our creator. He gave us life. We exist because of him. That alone, what could we repay him for causing us to be born, for creating us? But then to go so far as to sacrifice his Son for us? What can we repay God for such a gift? What can we repay God for such a salvation? And the salvation that was won for us, even in these verses, is pictured for us. These verses, these parallel sections, surround in the center, precious in the sight of the Lord, is the death of his saints. O Lord, I am your servant, I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. The Lord Jesus Christ here left the realms of glory and was born a servant. He was born of the Virgin Mary. You can call her the maidservant of God, doing his will. He became a servant for us. And his bonds have been loosed. Now he sang this psalm as he was going into that unimaginable affliction and turmoil. But he knew with certainty the result and what would happen. So he was able to sing, "You have loosed my bonds," even before he entered the grave. But this does speak of the fact that the bonds of death, that is what is being referred to here. They were recalled earlier, the snares or the cords of death. The bonds that is being spoken of here that have been loosed are those bonds of death. And Jesus Christ was freed. He rose from the dead. And we, through faith in him, have had our bonds loosed as well. The Apostle Paul says, "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" Death does grieve us. And even as people of God, death hurts. It is painful. Even our Lord and Savior experienced the pain and the suffering of death as he mourned the loss of his friend Lazarus. But it has lost its sting in that it cannot keep the people of God captive. We will be resurrected to newness of life if we die before our Lord returns. And one of the things that is interesting here is that as verse 15 starts, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." The word "precious" there means something that is valuable, something that is of great worth, something that is costly. A translation of this verse could in fact be "costly in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Now if we consider this as Jesus and the one who was giving his life for his people, what greater cost could the Lord give in the death of his Holy One? The death of the Holy One. But in the death of Christ, in his resurrection, in his ascension, we have life, we have freedom. And these verses give us comfort in knowing that even our life, even our death, is costly, it's valuable, it's precious to the Lord God. Now, if you consider what this means, Paul expressed it, I think, in an appropriate way. When he said, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." And around those verses, he told the people that it was better for them that he stay and remain in the body. But his desire was to be with the Lord. It was better for him to be with the Lord. Now, precious in the eyes or in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. One of the things that reason this brings comfort is knowing that when we die, we go to be with the Lord. We are with him. Our souls go to be with him in perfection. And this is, for us, a great and precious thing. But it did come at a great and significant cost in the laying down of his own son's life. Now, as I mentioned, the cords of death have been loosed. They were loosed in Christ, which on the third day he rose from the dead. And as we, by God's grace, have faith in him, those bonds are also loosed. And so, we're called to give thanks. We're called to lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. We're called to offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. These two being tied together. The cup of salvation. You know, the Lord, as I've already mentioned, he asked on the night that he was betrayed if it was possible that this cup pass from him. Now, this cup of salvation, this sacrifice of thanksgiving, is it not Jesus here lifting up the cup of salvation? Lifting up and carrying it and drinking it to the full. The cup of our salvation, the cup of God's wrath upon him. Was he not the sacrifice that was offered for us? And in these things, for this gracious benefit that the Lord has brought about for us, we are called in the midst of God's people to give thanks, to praise him. And this is where we will be forever. In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. And so we're called, brothers and sisters, to give wholehearted thanks to the Lord. Because he has redeemed us. He hears our cries and our pleas for deliverance. And he has supplied already the greatest deliverance that we need. The deliverance from our own sin and the deliverance from death. Through the sacrifice of his son and his son laying down his life willingly, but then taking it up again, being raised from the dead and ascending on high, we have salvation and deliverance. And so, brothers and sisters, this gives us confidence that our God does hear our cries. Let us then, since he hears, call to him freely and rejoice in him and give him thanks. Amen. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the deliverance that we have in Jesus Christ. We thank you that you are a God who hears. Lord, you have heard the cries of your people throughout history in different and various ways in which we have been afflicted and suffered, even for our own wickedness and sinfulness. Yet you, Lord, hear our cries. And we know, Lord, that this is only possible through the work of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for sending your Son. We thank you, Lord, for laying down your life, for being the sacrifice, the propitiation for our sins. And we give you praise that you delivered your Son, your Holy One, our Messiah, from the cords of death. They could not hold on to him, but he rose again from the grave. And he lives forever at the Father's right hand. We thank you that in your grace, through faith in Christ, that we have this deliverance. And we pray, Father, that you would work in us. May we remember your grace in times of affliction and turn to you and call upon you and give you thanks. And if there is anyone here who does not know you, we pray, Lord, that you, by your Spirit, would give them eyes to see and ears to hear. May your truth tonight penetrate deep into their hearts and bring salvation to them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.